As I mentioned before, we're continuing our series of messages on a reasonable faith in an uncertain world. And it's about, is believing in God just a matter of a blind leap of faith, or are there reasons to believe? So we're going to be looking at that. And this morning, we're going to be reviewing a song that's going to help you remember this sermon a little bit better. Lisa forgot, didn't you? That's okay. We have this deal. She sings, I preach. But let me just tell you, when she gets home, there are some preaching that comes on sometimes. Anyway, so actually, you probably know this song, so we're going to invite you to just sing along with us, her, and so it's going. And you're going to probably think this is an apologetic song. Yes, it is. Believe it or not. So together, Lisa.
All right. Here we go. I come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. I'm going to Louisiana, my true love for to see. It rained all night the day I left, the weather it was dry. The sun's so hot it froze to death, Susanna, don't you cry. Oh, Susanna, oh, don't you cry for me. I come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. Is there more?
Nope, that's it. Thank you very
there
much.
Give more,
give her a hand for helping. You're probably sitting there trying to figure out, okay, so how does that work in apologetics? Well, I'm going to tell you in a little bit. Now, so we remember our key verse here for this whole series is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And it says this, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. And always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the hope that is in you, and yet do it with gentleness and respect. So there is this calling by God that we should be ready to answer people's questions. And people do have questions. They have a lot of questions. They have preconceived ideas of what you believe in. Now, I mentioned last week that the world is kind of painting us towards more of a immoral religion. And this week, I have one of my liberal friends on Facebook, and you know, I don't know. I do look at them and pray for them, but boy, let me just tell you, sometimes they just wear you out. And that she put on her Facebook posting from some scholar, why evangelical Christianity is a dangerous cult. And so, you see, it is growing. The drumbeats out there are growing, and we need to be able to answer why we believe. Now, we know the truth is on our side. And so we need to understand, basically, just a basic definition of truth when we're talking to people. And the simple definition of truth is that which conforms to reality, fact, or actuality. And, you know, this is a very basic, a very simple definition. Now, you know, the problem with this is that everybody has a perception of truth and reality. Actually, I have a quote on my wall in my office that says, no one's behavior is based on truth and reality. It's only their perception of truth and reality. And a lot of times when I hear people talk about the disagreements that they might have, somewhere in the middle is usually the truth. Sometimes closer to one person than the other, but somewhere usually in between is the truth. So we want to be very careful when we talk about truth, and we want to get to really what is fact and actuality. Now, Colossians gives us a warning. And it says this, the Apostle Paul is writing, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. And, you know, a lot of people use this verse to kind of just say, you know, we should have nothing to do with philosophy. That is not what this is talking about at all. He is talking about deceitful philosophy, empty philosophy, false philosophy. He is talking about a philosophy that is based in worldview and not, you know, in the secular worldview and not in the sacred worldview, not in the worldview as Christ followers that we have. And you see, somebody's worldview is wrong. Whether people want to admit it or not, somebody's worldview is wrong. And we need to be able to demonstrate why our worldview doesn't fall apart when we're discussing it. Now, philosophy just simply means this: the study of the fundamental nature of knowledge, reality, and existence, especially when considered as an academic discipline. So basically, it is seeking knowledge. The word actually literally means loving wisdom. So it is a pursuit of truth. Philosophy in its purest form is a desire to get to the bottom of things, a desire to know truth. And so it is important for us to understand that should never frighten us as Christ followers, because all truth is God's truth. However, the world is trying to change perspectives. It's trying to change actually what truth is all about. In the Supreme Court case, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, Anthony Kennedy wrote this: "At the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life." Now, you know, you throw the thing about liberty in there, and that you have your own, you have the right to come up with your own concept of existence, of meaning of the universe, and of the mystery of life, then that's, you know, that sounds really noble and great until you really stop and think about it, what he's saying here. You know, he's telling us that each one of us has a right to define reality, that we have a right to define truth. And the dangers of that is that somebody can say that a child in a womb is not a child, but a thing and can be aborted. Or somebody can say, well, you're of a different race, you're inferior than I am, and you have less rights than I do, and my rights should prevail. You see, it's very dangerous when we focus on the word define. And that's the key word that we are looking at. He used the word define, which actually has given you power to decide what is reality and what is not. What he should have probably put in there is the word discover. Because it isn't about defining reality, it is our quest to discover reality. It is our quest to discover what it means to believe in what is true. It isn't about defining it for ourselves. It is about discovering it. So again, remember, truth, it's that which conforms to reality, fact, or actuality. Now, Jesus Christ, he is the embodiment of truth. In John chapter 14, as he was preparing his disciples for the fact that he was going to be leaving them, he's telling them that, you know, that they're not to let their hearts be troubled. He says, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And where I am, I'm going to come back and take you so that where I am, you can be with me. And they're sitting there and they're wondering, okay, we're not sure, where are you going? And Jesus said this. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. He goes on and he says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do not know him and have, you do know him and have seen him. So in this, we see a couple things that we affirm as Christ followers. First, we affirm four things about truth. First, it exists. We recognize that Jesus himself says he is truth. The next thing is that it is knowable. He says, in his sharing with them, he says, if you know me, you know the Father. He is knowable. So truth is knowable. It is absolute. He takes on the title of truth. He is the incarnation of truth. And the full embodiment of truth is found in Christ. And truth is exclusive. When Christ says, no one comes to Father but through me, that is an exclusive statement. So as Christ followers, we would affirm these four things, that truth exists, that it's knowable, that it's absolute, and it's exclusive. And when we affirm these four things, the world resists. The world doesn't like these three and these four things. And so we are going to talk about, I know this is going to sound exciting, just get ready. We are going to talk about today the law of non-contradiction. You need to know that term. The law of non-contradiction. Basically, it just simply means statements cannot both be true in the same sense at the same time. Just means that things can't be, A cannot be B and B cannot be C at the exact same time. So now we go back to our song. Oh, Susanna. I come from Alabama with a banjo on my knee. I'm going to Louisiana, my true love for to see. It rained all day the night I left. The weather was dry. Contradiction, isn't it? Because it's funny. This is an impossibility. This, when Foster wrote this, the whole idea was that it was nonsensical. And he goes on, the sun so hot I froze to death. Susanna, don't you cry. So you just remember the law of non-contradiction deals. Old Susanna is a great illustration of that. So how do we respond to people? Well, let's just take a couple of philosophies. First, the skeptic. Now, the skeptic will tell you there is no absolute truth. And actually, it's interesting to see this is not only the skeptic, but also the atheist would actually be along with this. Followers of a guy named Nietzsche. Nietzsche was always complaining that there was no absolute truth, but yet people lived like that. He said, God is dead, God doesn't exist. He says, even some of my friends believe that God doesn't exist, but yet they live like he does exist. So the whole idea is that there is no absolute truth. And this is what they say. But the problem is, them saying there is no absolute truth is an absolute statement. And so if they're making that statement, it cannot possibly be true because the law of contradiction says two things cannot be opposites at the same time. So we would actually respond to them, well, that's an absolute statement that you're making. How do you explain that? The next one is agnostic. How do we respond to the agnostic? They might say there might be truth, but it's unknowable. So with the agnostic, he might give you that there's some truth, but it's impossible to know it. Again, the problem is he is making a statement that we know. So he is making an assumption that he believes that he knows, that applies for everything, that there is truth, it's unknowable, and we know that. So it doesn't quite work with him either. The next person is the relativist. Truth is a matter of one's perspective. Kennedy, his statement was very much like that. It's a statement of, you know, whatever you think. You know, it's a personal matter of one's own perspective. Everything else, everything's just relative. You know, so it might be true for you, but it's not true for me. Now, are there some relative things? Well, yes and no. And no, there's a little contradiction, right? Okay, so, for instance, Lisa loves coconut. That's true. I hate coconut. I think it's disgusting. So it's true for her that coconut is wonderful. It's true for me that it's disgusting. So is that a relative statement? Well, it actually goes back to the absolute truth that we all have different tastes. So it isn't that one's perspective defines truth. I was reading an article about George Reeve, 1950s Superman. And do you know he had to do public service announcements? Because children watching him on TV thought all you had to do is tie a cape onto your shirt, go on top of the roof, and leap, and you'll fly. They firmly believed that. Their perspective was, if I put a cape on like Superman, I can fly. Their perspective changed drastically. And so George Reeve had to go on and say, only Superman can fly, and you're not Superman. So when we talk to a relativist, the problem that they also have is that they believe that this is an absolute statement. They believe that to say that what's true for you is true for me is absolutely, positively a true statement, and you cannot refute that. But yet, if my perspective of that is different, how you see it, it's all messed up again. The pluralist believes that, similar to the relativist, the pluralist believes that all views are equally true. Now, this has become very popular in recent days. However, when you start pushing on them a little bit, they do not actually believe that all views are equally true. And the problem with believing that all things are equally true is that there are, especially when it comes to spiritual things, for instance, in Christianity, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That there is no way to God because he's the truth, the way, and the light. No life, no man comes to the Father except through him. That's a statement that we firmly believe. The people who are Muslims, who are a part of the Islam religion, do not believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They do not believe that he is the Son of God. Those are opposing views. And being strongly opposing views cannot be equally true. They would also say that you can believe in God or you're an atheist. They're both equally true. The law of contradiction would say that is an impossibility. Usually when I have somebody that talks to me about this, I will ask them, well, so you believe that the belief of Christianity, let's say, of marriage is similar to the Hindu concept of marriage that's known as sati or sometimes referred to as sati. So you would agree to that, right? And they would say, yes, they're both equally true. And I went, that's really interesting. Do you know what sati, or in some parts of the country, sati, do you know what that is? Well, no, I don't know what it is. Well, let me tell you what that is. That is the belief that when the husband dies and the wife is still alive, when they burn him in his funeral pile, she is tied to him and burned alive. So are you okay with that belief? Well, no. Well, no. I said, so not all beliefs are equal. Well, yeah, well. And so, you know, it is just talking to them and helping them to see some of the statements that sound inclusive really don't quite work. And really, these are statements about, in their mind, tolerance, because that's what they appeal. They want us all to be tolerant. They want, you know, especially Christians, they want us to demonstrate tolerance. But here's the issue with that. Tolerance presupposes truth and presupposes error. Look what it says. A simple definition of tolerance: the allowable deviation from a standard. Merriam-Webster. So, you notice what it is? It's an allowable deviation from something that's true. That's what tolerance is. And I like the fact that it says allowable, because you know what? You get outside that parameter and then chaos begins to happen. Jetliner, we just seen in the news this week, stress fracture in one of the impellers in the jet engine broke and ended up killing a woman and nearly crashing the plane. Because the tolerance for that impeller exceeded allowable deviation. And when allowable deviation occurs within society, we see continued wreckage of life. So as Christ followers, we need to understand that tolerance, when somebody says to be tolerant, you say, oh, well, then you agree that there is right and wrong, because that's what tolerance is about. The most important thing about the law of non-contradiction is remembering this law when we're dealing with others. Because do you know the Bible talks about this law? In James chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, when James is talking about how we deal with other people, he says this: from the same mouth come blessings and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Things that are opposite cannot be true. And part of the problem that we have as Christ followers in defending our faith is when we ourselves violate the law of contradiction and we say we believe one thing, but yet we live a different way. So when we are sitting and when we are sharing our faith with people, when we are giving them an answer, we need to be very careful to answer them with respect and gentleness, demonstrating that Christ is holy in our lives. And that we recognize that the law of contradiction is kind of on our side. Now, they might tell you, well, what about things that are bittersweet? Well, that just talks about the taste that has two different aspects to it. They're not actually opposite. You see, truth cannot coexist with falseness on the same level. It's either true or it's not. It is as simple as that. And really, life is about that. Can't jump off of a roof and expect not to be hurt if you're any distance up. You can't walk out in front of a speeding bus and think that you can stop the bus just by standing there. There are things that are absolute. And as Christ followers, if we truly believe that Christ is the absolute way, truth, and life, then our lives will line up with